Hello everyone, my name is James from Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet, and I am joined today by a man who has become very famous since last year. He is the king of insanity and the leader of the filthy generation. It is Stevie Boy Xavier himself.
How are you doing? Thank you very much for having me.
So obviously you're coming off, to be honest, quite a fantastic year. Obviously you were a star, but you've made a sort of like a superstar of yourself out of that match. I mean, how does it feel to be the first ever crowned king of insanity?
To be honest, it's surreal, man. Anybody that knows me knows I'm not particularly a kind of hardcore wrestler. That's not really what I tend to dabble in, but I think the initial concept for the King of Insanity was actually kind of, it came up sort of early last year, so it was roughly about this time last year it came up with. And it was one of those ones I knew from day one, I'm leading towards this, the whole thing with Whiplash and all that had all been set in motion. It was surreal. To be honest, it was one of those things when I showed up at the venue. I remember it was myself and Kaylee, my other half, we were just sitting there and I was like, I don't want to do this. I want to go. Because everybody showed up, it's the Hydro, it's a big thing. They all had their suits, they were all suited and booted. I walked in a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. not even kidding. I was sitting outside, we pulled up and I was just like, I don't want to go in here. I don't want to do this. And it pretty much just became a case of get in, get it done and go home. That's it. That's all I want to do. And it wasn't until after it, we'd done the Destroyer through the table, I'd pinned Whiplash, the crowd exploded.
Absolutely mental. I myself was in the crowd and I was going absolutely nuts for that, it was insane.
It wasn't until I sat back onto the table and I kind of took a second to kind of look about and I was like, right, that's it, done. That's, and it was that way I started getting goosebumps and everything and then I was like, that's it. And then came the instant regret of, oh no, I'm the king of insanity now, everybody's going to want me to do this all the time.
So, once there's a crown on your head, someone wants it, that's it.
I'm still waiting on the crown, by the way. I was promised a trophy, which hasn't been materialised yet, so I'm holding them up for that.
You're going to have to get one commissioned at some point, but obviously, what does it mean for you going forward? I mean, is someone going to try and, maybe at some point try and take this from you in a future death match? I mean, obviously you've had ones with Sabu since then, obviously not for that, but is that the sort of thing you could see happening? Someone try to come up to you for that kind of crown?
To the best of my knowledge, all I know is it's going to be an annual tournament.
That's good.
Every Fear and Loathing, it's going to be the annual death match kind of thing. I think it was pretty much, I remember speaking to Dallas a little while ago, and obviously there's a lot of companies starting to kind of boom and stuff now, and our gates were kind of not dropping, but we weren't getting the response and stuff we were kind of looking for. And I remember speaking to Dallas and I was saying to him it's because we're not insane anymore, we're just championship wrestling, that's it. And obviously we'd heard that Mikey Whiplash was coming back and stuff like that, and I think that was just, it just kind of all pieced together really well.
A nice blood covered jigsaw, basically.
That was it, basically. One of my other things, I'm quite chuffed to say that there's probably parts of my DNA in every part of the Hydro right now.
Your legacy will live on.
Exactly, forever. That's it. I've cemented it. I'm in there. So,
do you have any thoughts on the match? What were points that stood out? Because obviously you were in there with Chris Renfrew, Mikey Whiplash, and Jimmy Havoc and yourself. And so what stood out for you? Because I remember the first thing I noticed was we saw the crucifix shaped piece of wood, and I thought that's a bit strange, there's a table in the shape of a crucifix. It wasn't until someone hit it that I went, oh, there's barbed wire on that.
Carpet grip. We'd messed about thinking up ideas, what can we do that's a bit different, and it was Clint Mangiara from down south. He'd actually started taking slams and stuff onto that actual stuff just on the floor. We can do something with this. And to be honest, I had no idea. It was just one of those kind of passing thought kind of things. And then I showed up on the day and I seen that cross and my ass just fell out of me. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be mental. But it's one of those things, the whole time leading up to it, I was so anxious. There was points I was starting to shake and stuff like that. But just, it's one of those things, as soon as the music kicks in and you're out there and you're in front of the crowd, it's just the adrenaline. People always ask me, what is it you love about professional wrestling? And it's an adrenaline rush. It's one of those things you could never fully explain it. You'd have to actually give it a try yourself to kind of. It's like getting a tattoo. You get your first tattoo, you're like, oh my God, this hurts so much, oh my God, and then it's done, you're like, thank God. And then a week later, you're like, that hurt like shit. but I really want another one.
You go another. So it's a bit of a rush, so like almost addictive. That's it.
It's kind of.
So I mean, yourself, you've talked about it. You said yourself, you're not exactly what you would pin as a hardcore wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So leading up to that, what was it that made you? I mean, obviously you led up to being crowned the King of Insanity, so that is essentially the hardest man in ICW. So what was it that led you to that point, to that turning point, to being obviously Stevie Boy, to being the King of Insanity?
To be honest, it was. For myself personally, it was never really a case of being like the hardcore guy or King of Insanity or anything like that. It was more a case of I've worked my way through ICW. I started at the very, very bottom, worked my way up through the Bucky Boys, through the NAK and stuff like that. And it was kind of like this was me thinking to myself, this is my chance to actually put myself on the map, so to speak. You've got three of the craziest people in the UK. And I thought, well, if I can step in there with them, then as long as at the end of it people don't think I look at a ton, I'm happy with that. But it was really just a case, I wanted to push myself that extra bit further, give myself that platform, and thank God it paid off, and we're starting the year on a high now. So
it's not only that, but you came out on top as well. So you stepped into that ring, you came out. So I mean, that's quite a transformation, because you've gone from being, as far as I remember from watching, primarily a tag wrestler with the Bucky Boys and that, and now you are the leader of the Filthy Generation.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
So you're leading a stable. So you are obviously in your own right a singles competitor. How does it feel leading that stable with these people sort of, I don't know, to say below you, but alongside you with the same ideals and motto?
Actually, I've known myself and Lewis, we kind of came up through training together and stuff. I trained with Source or SWA when I very first started, before I made the jump to the Premier British Wrestling Academy. Aspen Faith is another boy I've known. Like, me and him worked each other a few times, maybe like 2010-ish, I'd like to say. And it was just one of those things, like, obviously on my way up I was put in these predicaments. So with the Bucky Boys, we had the likes of like Neil Wee Man Bratchfees, who was the kind of mouthpiece, and kind of like we owe, like, people say, oh, the Bucky Boys were the best thing going. Like, we owe a lot of thanks to Neil for that, because it was him coming in that gave us that extra bit of star power, and the whole the here we fucking go thing. But, like, that would primarily be like a kind of a music festival sort of chant, but then to bring that over to wrestling, that was all him. And again, the NAK, it was just, they were constantly like behind me, again with the likes of Chris Renfrew and stuff, who when it got to that point where I was starting to advance a little bit more, kind of gave me the opportunity, handed the mic over to me and stuff like that. So it's nice now to kind of, not to say that Lewis and Aspen are below me, but they're guys who, to be honest, I think have all the talent in the world. They should be absolutely everywhere, but they will never given the spotlight to really show what they can do. And I think it's nice now, I don't want to sound big headed that, but it's nice now for me to be able to go, right, these are my guys, these are the guys I'm going to bring forward,
they're your boys,
these are the guys that I'm taking with me, kind of thing. But again, it's never really, like, people always say I'm the leader of the Filthy Generation, I started it, but I've never really, nothing we do, it comes from me. It's not like, see, like WWE, where there's all these ideas but they have to be ran by like Vince McMahon or Triple H or stuff like that. It's not like that. We've got a group chat, we all said we're all just as involved as each other, kind of thing. But it's just, it's nice to be able to give what I've been given and the chances I've been given to pass that on to someone else, and let those boys tend to kind of flourish, because you see them, they're popping up everywhere.
Oh, they're
now
fantastic.
It's brilliant to see. Like, it's absolutely brilliant. It's more than I could ever ask for.
I mean, to be honest, that is a fantastic sentiment, this idea that, like, you've been given that power and that you're sort of helping out people that you've come up with as well. So, like, what's it like, you've made the transition from a tag team wrestler to a solo wrestler, essentially. So what are the differences? What would you say it's been like moving from that sort of dynamic to be on your own almost?
Well, at very first, I was actually a singles wrestler. So when I first started training and such like that, I was always singles wrestler. When I first debuted in ICW, I was a singles wrestler.
Right.
It was my very first match was myself against Adam Shane, or Coach Tripp, as he's now known as. That was my very first match in the door, and it was literally like, I didn't even throw a punch. I literally walked into the ring, Shamer beat the shit out of me, put me through a table, and I was taken backstage.
So I write your passage, basically.
That was it. Dallas came up to me and he went, you did everything I wanted you to do. You didn't try to outshine him, you didn't try to get your shit in. You done exactly what you were told, and it's worked now. And it was right there, he just said, like, basically, I've got this idea I've been holding on for years. It's called the Bucky Boys. I've got Davey Blaze that I really want to use. I want you to be the other one. And I mean, that was brilliant. Like, obviously, Neil got added to it, and then Lambrini and stuff like that, and it just all started booming. It became, like, a massive thing in Glasgow. Like, I would go for, like, shopping in Asda, and I'd be asked for, like, autographs and stuff like that, and photos, and it was crazy. And then I remember it was one of the tours, the one that ended in Flawless Victory, just before the first SSE show.
Okay.
It was like, well, actually, we'd never spoken about the Bucky Boys breaking up or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I showed up on the, I want to say it was the Friday, and Mark Dallas pulled me aside, basically said, look, this is what's happened. Like, things are kind of going other ways. We need more feuds. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is, you're going to win the Zero G title.
Yeah.
You're going to turn on Davey Blaze, and it's going to be you guys opening up the SECC. And my heart sank, man.
Like,
no, it sank in a good way. Like,
where it was like, it's come to an end. Sort of
exactly.
Thing.
And then it was like overwhelming pressure almost for myself, because I'm quite, people don't normally know us, but I'm really kind of shy and kind of laid back, and like, I'm not one of these people that will bounce into a room jumping out and stuff like that. I'm more the guy that's kind of sitting in the corner just laughing along and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of, the fear for me was, when you're in sort of like a tag team or a stable, there's another two or three people or whatever that can take the attention.
Of course.
So not everybody's on you, but now I was, as well as I was taken into the NAK, but my role was primarily to be the ZOG guy. I was going to be the high flyer. I was going in it solo. And I think that's when I kind of started feeling the pressure a bit. So I was like, right, no, I've not got anybody to rely on. No, if I go out there and I mess up, it's on me. I've not got anybody to take this, I've not got anybody to take the dairy or anybody to kind of help with the burden or stuff. But it's one of those things, like, I'm not afraid of change. I embrace change. I look forward to it. So as timid as I was and as kind of, like, anxious as I was about it, I just thought, I need to get my head down and I need to hit this thing as hard as I can. And luckily enough, I managed to do a kind of an all right job of it, and it's
absolutely
even better. So.
It's been absolutely successful. I would definitely say, given where you are now, I would say it's a resounding success. So, obviously, there's influence outside the ICW with the Filthy Generation now. So, essentially, the Kings of Catch, that's Lewis Garvin and Aspen Faith,
yep.
They're using elements of that outside with their wrestling as well. What does that mean to you? Do you feel that, obviously, you feel a sense of like pride that the sort of like what you've built is now going across to other promotions and stuff like that as well?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because I mean, for the longest time, the Filthy Generation was just myself and Kaylee. But like, from the day we kind of crowned it, we were like, right, we need more members. If we're going to call ourselves a generation, we need to start piling people in. And like, names and stuff were kind of bounced about for like the longest time. And it was actually, we had settled on it was going to be Lewis and Aspen.
Yeah.
Like, right, this is going to happen. But it actually came down to, I was injured at the time.
Right.
I wrestled BT Gunn and Wolfgang from Zero G in the garage, and I dislocated my shoulder.
Oh.
So it was supposed to be, the match was originally meant to be myself and Davey Blaze against Chris Renfrew and Mikey Whiplash, just as he had joined Legion kind of thing. And I showed up and I was like, guys, look, I'm out for the next maybe 6 to 8 weeks. I can't do this. What do we do? And I was like, well, we've got Lewis and Aspen here. Why not just pull the trigger on it? And it was just one of those things, like, the second they walked out the curtain, the crowd just erupted, and it was like, we've got something here, like, this is just...
That is such a good idea, especially if you had them, like, waiting in the wings. So it's basically, like, you're building it up, and then sometimes chance just makes it a better thing.
That was exactly it. Like, it just... It's so weird. Like, I can't exactly just sit back and take credit for things. Like, I've got people help me, but a lot of it has been purely down to consequence.
Oh.
Like, it's just the right things happening at the right time, and it just seems to be working for me, and... touch wood, it keeps going with that. But I know, definitely, because myself and Kaylee, like, we wrestle down south and like around the country and stuff like that a lot, so trying to kind of just the two of us pushing the Filthy Generation thing was a bit of a struggle. But now we've got these extra people who are hitting other companies that we don't necessarily work for, and just to see it building, like, I got a tweet the other day, there's a fan cult, they call themselves. It's like in America, sort of Canada area. They're called like the Legion of Filth or something like that. And they actually messaged us asking us to be like honorary members and stuff.
Oh,
like that.
No
and
way.
Just like, this is.
That's when you know you've got it actually going on, you know?
I'm a 25-year-old boy for Paisley. Like, I know I've got all these people messaging me from around the world and stuff. It's mental. It blew up to be something completely like 100 times bigger than I ever thought it would be. But no, it's been absolutely incredible.
I mean, that is amazing. So like, obviously now that you've got that sort of success going on, what do you see happening with the Filthy Generation in the future? What sort of things do you want to push towards?
We're going to dominate. who are
dominate the world, of course.
That's it. That's it. It's in the song. It's in the lyrics. Literally, I just want to be honest, I don't really... I do have kind of long-term goals in wrestling, but I try not to fixate on them because wrestling's so unpredictable. Like, I mean, just last year we had Triple H showing up on one of our shows.
That was
mental. Like, you can, like, you never know what's going to happen. You could be aiming for something, and 2 minutes in the door, you're going to take a hard left turn, and it's going to be something completely different. But I just genuinely feel, especially with the kind of chemistry that we have and how we've developed so quickly and the kind of the support we've gained so quickly, I see us reaching for the moon, and honestly, I don't think there's anybody that can stop us, especially with the kind of the growth in like six-man tags and stables and stuff like that. Now, I definitely see us like taking off. We'll be all over the world in a matter of, maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but soon we'll be everywhere and there's no stopping us. So.
That's fantastic, because you get that six-man tag stuff. I remember watching the New Japan Wrestle Kingdom. Obviously, they've got a belt for that and everything. Yeah. So I mean, that sort of teamwork, and obviously you guys are doing so well, and you're absolutely going for it. So back to yourself, you said you've got these sort of like aspirations and goals. Mm-hmm. What do you see happening in your role in the Square Goal? Have you got any specific plans that you want to do in that sort of? Obviously it's a competitive arena. You've got all these guys. What are you going to do to stand out?
Well, as you say, we've got all these guys, but a few of those guys are on my payroll.
Exactly.
So I've always got the numbers advantage. But at the end of the day, I'm no stranger to Square Goals. I think I've missed.
Is that in or out of the ring?
We'll say in the ring for just now.
But, for the sake of the listeners at home.
No, I've had my fair share of fisticuff games, but no, I just think, like, I'm no stranger to it. I know exactly what's going on. I know kind of what my own weaknesses are, and it's just a matter of kind of trying to accentuate the positives and hide the weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And I think with my missus and my boys behind me, there's at least one of us is walking out of there with that Square Goal briefcase. So,
well, the way you've said that, I have no doubt myself. Obviously, you seem positive, you seem confident. Mm-hmm. Best of luck, obviously, in that regard. But so, moving past the Square Goal, plans for the future. If you'd say you had some ambitions, is there a title that you're working towards, right, or just anything at all that you think I think shoot for the moon? But what does the moon look like?
Just now, I'm really focusing on. I really want to break out in Europe. I've got some things. I don't think it's actually been announced yet, but I'm going to be appearing in Germany and stuff like that later than this year. I want to get out and travel, man. I want to go and see the world. Obviously, my ultimate goal is going to the Fed. I think anybody that starts professional wrestling, that's the ideal thing.
It's what you grew up with, and obviously, you see it and you go, want that logo.
Exactly. But for myself, I'm only 5'10", like I'm 180 pounds soaking wet. For the longest time it was, I'm never going to do that. I just want to go out and travel, maybe go to Japan, do something like that. But with the kind of growth of like the UK scene, you see these guys like Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, and stuff.
So
like
different
that.
Now, isn't it?
Exactly, the whole scene's just blown up. So it's really maybe been kind of maybe last year. So obviously Wolfgang's one of kind of my close personal friends.
Exactly. Yeah.
And seeing the success he's had and how well he's doing, like I'm over the moon for him. But and I mean, I've said this to him, it's no lie, I'm chuffed to bits for him, but I am so jealous.
Just listen, I love you, but go and stop, right?
I love you, but I want what you've got, basically. But that's basically my aspirations in the long term. Mm. Either sign some sort of deal or just really get out and do what I love to do and get to see the world while I'm doing it.
Obviously,
you've got people like Kayleen as well, who just now she's in Japan.
Yeah.
She left on the 1st of January and she's back on the 6th of February.
Right.
So she's doing a month's tour out there, and then she's got stuff lined up for going over to America to work with promotion like Shimmer and stuff like that. So she's constantly on the move, and it's just one of those things, like that's what I want to progress to. If I get a spare weekend, I get really agitated. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm just sitting about and like, I should be doing something right.
You've got to keep moving like a shark, or you're...
So that's it. My main aspiration just now is just to keep myself busy. Obviously, I did the WWE tryouts and stuff last year like that.
Yeah.
We got some kind of good feedback and stuff like that. So at least now I know I'm on the radar. I know I'm starting to make the kind of the right move. So it's just kind of keeping the head down and working hard and hopefully progressing in that kind of field. As far as titles go, like just now, is I want the ICW title.
You want to go straight for it?
Yeah, I said between the Square Goal and the title, that's the only things I've not done in that company. BT Gunn calls himself the Grand Slam. I beg to differ. I think I can do better. I think I can trump him, and that is my full intentions for the moment. It's to take over that company.
I mean, obviously, with everyone behind you, that doesn't sound far-fetched at all. So, I mean, if that was to become a reality, or, you know, if God forbid, not, what would you say is a dream match that you'd like to have? Any wrestler, you could say alive or sadly passed, but...
My dream match just now, with the inspiration of the whole King of Insanity thing, I said it to Dallas the second the Sabu match finished and I got backstage, was, I want Tommy Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer.
I want Tommy Dreamer. Everybody always goes on about the Ravens, the Sandmans, the Sabus and stuff like that. Tommy Dreamer does not get half the credit that he deserves, and I think he's one of the only guys from that era who can still go.
He does, yeah,
he can
exactly.
Still put a shift in, like, he's still ready to go for it, and I think me and him could absolutely tear the roof off at any building that we walked into. And I remember saying it to Dallas as soon as I walked through the curtain, I want Tommy Dreamer. I want Tommy Dreamer. So that just now, that's my,
maybe that's your crown coming after that match.
Hopefully. But yeah, that's my dream match at the moment. Is I really want to lock arms with Tommy Dreamer just to see if I can cut it with him.
Imagine you could do it in Philly with the dueling ICW and ECW chants as well. You know,
mate, that'd be, oh my god,
just off to the away to the stars. That's me.
I would retire after that.
That's
right.
Me. Just, I'm out, guys.
That's it. Even if Vince sent me a contract, I'm like, nah, mate, nah, I'm done.
I'm away home. Right, that's it.
No, 100%. That's what I'm after.
So obviously, that's a dream match. What would you say is your favourite match that you've had so far?
Oh,
I know it was a tough one not to spring that on you, but obviously, some that stick out in your mind, even two, you could say, two or
I've
three.
I've got a few. I've got the King of Insanity match. Another one was the casket match from last year's Hydro. Mm-hmm. Just because I felt as much as the King of Insanity kind of helped me, I think winning that casket match was the starting point.
Yeah.
That was when people kind of started finally going, right, maybe he's not just a mid-card guy anymore. Maybe he's actually starting to make waves.
Of course, yeah.
And then it was obviously building from that, leading into the feud with Renfrew, which then led into Legion, and it just kind of escalated from there. So definitely the casket match. There was a tour in London where I fought Chris Renfrew. Can't remember what the name of the show was, but the both of us opened the show, and that's still one of my favourite matches to date. And then another one would be the last time me and BT had a singles match in the garage, which was just before Fear and Loathing. And I mean, it was 10 minutes of just sheer chaos. There was all sorts of chair shots. Both the referees get knocked out. There was like angle slams off the top rope and stuff. But it was like, from the second we walked out the curtain, the crowd were on us, and it got to the point where the Glasgow crowd had kind of not dipped, but we weren't getting the reactions we used to, like when we first started running the garage and stuff like that. And it was one of those first ones, and I remember we went head to head at the start, and we were kind of talking cheek between us, and the crowd just started building up. And I remember BT kind of just looking to the side and looking back and just went, "We've got them." And it was one of those things, like the second we hit, I believe it was he pushed me and I spat in his face, and from there it was just the hostility in that building. Like I genuinely thought, I'm getting Dudley Boys heat, like someone's going to try and stab me after this show.
Just saying, you get a taxi out, like you've got to get away from the arena as well.
Exactly,
you know?
But no, those are definitely three of my best match. Well, not best match, but my favourite ones to look back on and kind of go, that was everything I could have done. Like I gave it 100% in every one of them. So
I'm sad I wasn't there for the third one, obviously. But like, your reign, you're obviously your champion in a few places right now as well. So most prominently, that I remember, you're the PBW champ at the moment.
Yes, I won that in December at Dumbarton. Again, I beat BT Gunn for it. It's a massive accomplishment. I know, obviously, like PBW and stuff, they don't get the kind of the publicity like ICW and stuff. But PBW, I started there when I was maybe 16, 17 years old. And again, like ICW, I started from the bottom. I went in, I was training every single week, progressing. Like, the promoter, Ross Watson, our Kid Fight, helped me so much. Like, I could never give him enough thanks. He got me bookings in England and took me everywhere with him. And again, it's another company now which I've grand slammed. I've held their cruiserweight title, their tag title, and now I've got the heavyweight title.
You're just racking up these accolades, like mental, aren't you?
That's it. And to what is mental, because for the longest time, like, I never really cared about championships or stuff like that. I just wanted to go out and wrestle. That was all I wanted to do. And it's only really been maybe in the last year or so that I've started kind of building all this stuff up now. I'm sitting in my house and I've got like a suitcase that is filled with belts and other stuff, and I'm like, I'm going to need to buy a shelf or something. Like, this is getting ridiculous.
You're sitting there thinking, I need more jeans for these, you know
exactly,
what I mean?
Exactly. I never wear jeans other than tonight. I'm normally in shorts or joggies or something like that. I'm like, no take. But no, that was definitely, that was a massive tick off in the bucket list, was to win that belt. And I'm proper buzzing for this year to actually go out there and main event these shows and give it everything I've got. I know we've spoken about a few of the title defences I've got coming up like that, and I'm really, really looking forward to them. So fingers crossed for that one. I do them proud and don't let the side down.
So what's the next match you've got? Have you got a match confirmed to defend that title?
Not yet, no. They've just confirmed their first show is in March. But they haven't actually announced the card for it yet, and I don't know if I'm really obliged to say just now what
you gotta
it is.
See. So, that's, just gotta find out.
That's basically it. But no, I'm really, really looking forward to that. Again, it's a totally different scenario. Like, obviously, I really enjoy wrestling for ICW, but see, being able to go out in front of kids, like, kids are nuts, man. They're absolutely mental. Like,
so Wayne's throwing stuff.
Exactly. Like, I was. I've been on the holiday camps and had Wayne's pinned me to the floor, like beating me with inflatable hammers and stuff like that. And it's just
that's see, proper heat you've got
exactly,
there.
Exactly. Seeing people get that reaction out of somebody is just it's absolutely amazing. I know, 100%. I'm really looking forward to this year. It's going to be hectic, but I think I'm prepared. I'm ready to go. So
one of the last questions I'll give you. So obviously that's a major accomplishment of you as well, and obviously looking forward to 2018 defending that sort of belt. What else do you think is coming up for 2018 for yourself?
See, I don't know. I'm really bad for it. I'm not one of these wrestlers that goes out and chases work. Like, you see a lot of people putting up on Twitter and stuff, this is the dates I've got free, please tag me in this status and web promotions. No, I've more kind of, and it's probably one of my downfalls, is I tend to kind of sit back and let the bookings come to me. So I think I'm just kind of, this year I'm focusing on kind of being more on top of the ball, especially with things like social media and stuff like that. Like, I'm a nightmare for Twitter. I think the last thing I posted was like the week after the Hydro or something like that.
By the way, look at my match.
Exactly. People are always getting on at me. Like, you need to be on social media. You need to be pimping yourself and doing this stuff. But to be honest, I'm just going to, as long as I'm having fun, that's my main thing. Because for the longest while, wrestling kind of just seemed like work. And I started kind of getting a bit, I don't really want to do this. Which, again, is why I've taken up like an actual job and stuff. Because now I'm out during the week and I've got something to hate, which actually makes me look forward to going and wrestling at the weekend.
It's just like you don't realise how good it is till you learn what you've not got.
Exactly like that. But just, my main kind of focus is now just have fun and get out there and do what I do and try and kind of, you know, just keep all the people that have supported me and stuff like that throughout the years. Like, I'm 25 now, I've been doing this for 12 years. Like, I started when I was really young.
That is young.
And there was people that, like, the people that supported me from day one, like people like BT Gunn, Chris Renfrew, Wolfgang and stuff like that. Like, me and BT trained together, we've been best friends since I was about 13 years old or something like that. So just to kind of show all these people, like, the faith that you put me in me isn't lost. Like, I'm going for this and I'm going to hit it as hard as I can, 110%. But that's basically my kind of my goals for this year, is have fun and again try and get out and see a bit more of the world and do what I love to do. So as long as I can tick off those boxes, then the year's been an absolute success for me.
That is fantastic. So just last question, anything you got to say ahead of the square goal, anything you want to say to your opponents or anyone listening?
Well, because obviously there's been a little bit of tension building between myself and Kenny Williams. We both came off pretty big victories at the Hydro.
Yeah.
We both clashed horns a couple of weeks ago in the garage in the street fight. I know he's in the same mindset as me. We both want to hit the top as quick as we can. We're the younger guys coming through now. To be honest, I'm past the point of threatening people and getting angry. I don't need to do that stuff anymore. I don't need to brag about how good I am. You go on social media and people are already talking about it. Just Kenny, keep your eyes open, because there's a big target in your back, son, and more times than not, when I set my mind to something, I kill it. So watch your back, pal.
Fantastic. So it's been great to have you on the show, obviously. So signing out, obviously you can catch Stevie Boy at the Hydro.
Not until next year.
The ABC for the Square Goal.
Yep,
February the 11th. Tickets are sadly sold out.
Uh-huh. But so if you missed it, shame on you.
He will be appearing at subsequent events as well. So from us, take care and goodbye.
Have a good night.